Hello and welcome back to another episode of Scottish Football Covered. We're on episode 12. Again, it is hosted by myself and Finlay. Before we go into recapping this weekend's football, we're going to just address the new situation. Stefan is taking a more, I don't want to say a step back because he's still involved, but he's going to be more involved heavily on the editing and the social media aspect of things. So, going forward, it looks like it's going to be me and my guest today, Finlay, hosting. Finlay's going to be hosting sometimes, you're not going to, in case you're getting sick of my voice already. But I'm sure Stefan, our good friend, is still going to be featured on some episodes. But Finlay, how are you doing? And how much are you looking forward to the new changes that we've made?
I think it's great for the podcast. Obviously, it's sad to see Stefan kind of move upstairs, as it were, in the kind of sporting director role of on the show. But I'm very excited for it. And in terms of how I'm doing, very well, to be honest. It's probably, I mean, I no one really likes hearing about the weather, but for the first time in ages, it feels kind of warm this weekend. And all of a sudden, I think everyone's realizing that they're not just miserable people. Sometimes the weather does actually make a difference.
No, exactly. And now you might be miserable if you support some of the teams that are about to recap. I don't want to rub it in, but we're gonna start at the blue side of Glasgow. We're gonna start at Ibrox. Seen dominated the headlines during the week was the appointment of former club captain Barry Ferguson. Philip Clement timely get sacked 2 hours after we stopped recording last Sunday. For those who aren't wee behind the scenes, we record this on a Sunday afternoon, usually about 6 or 7. Philip Clement conveniently gets sacked about 8 or 9 last Sunday. So, but Barry Ferguson came in, managed his first game midweek, went 2-0 down to Kilmarnock, came back to win 4-2, went 2-0 down again yesterday, but where it would stay, Motherwell would stay in front, 1-2-1. It's a second win at Ibrox in a row for Motherwell. If you remember, they won there last season, and it's the first time Rangers have lost 3 games at Ibrox consecutively since 1994. Finally, I'm just going to start with the obvious, Barry Ferguson. It's his first game back at Ibrox for so many years. What's your overall thinking of the appointment? Like, no one's expecting it to go beyond the summer, but from here at the end of the season, do you think they've made the right call?
I'm gonna probably start over the next coming weeks, start talking myself out of a career in media, because I think it's such a shockingly bad appointment. And maybe this will be controversial. I think Scottish football can sometimes be its own worst enemy, and it has a tendency to hire. I mean, I guess you see this all around the world, but this the ex-pros. It's like if it were happening in England, people kind of laugh at the imagine Wayne Rooney, or when Steven Gerrard, or when Frank Lampard, they all got these jobs. Imagine that, but instead of having a record of doing okay in another country or doing fine, like at DC United or at Derby or Rangers, their first job was kind of League Two, League One, one promotion into League Two. The CV is incredibly uninspiring. The backroom staff feels like a jobs for the boys. The style of play is, already dispiriting. And I have a feeling, and this is going to sound incredibly conspiratorial, that Barry Ferguson is a little bit, not only has he positioned himself for this job really well with his own show, but I think maybe he's got a few people who are reluctant to, as it were, kind of slag him off in the media and point out too many flaws. So I feel like in the coming weeks, no matter what the results are going to be, until it gets truly bad, and again, this is me kind of holding a crystal ball, which I don't have, but I feel like it's going to take a long time for people to stop talking about passion and all these kind of buzzwords and start actually talking about how tactically maybe he's not on the level as his opponent today, which was very obvious.
No, you make a few good, interesting points. I'm not too sure what I think of the appointment. I understand why Rangers have made it. They just needed to get someone in the door. But I think Rangers, they're out both cups. They're all but out of the league. But they seem to be saving their best performance on Thursday nights under Philip Clement. So if you're going to get rid of Clement, personally, I think it would have been best just waiting to the end of the season. Maybe they've done it to just get rid of that bad feeling because there was a lot of fan pressure. But then all it takes is just a statement to say, Philip Clement will leave at the end of the season. But again, and then the backroom staff's a bit laughable as well. It's like the Avengers of the Glasgow Rangers descending on the Ibrox, but it's not been the best start for them. Mother, both goals, it's just patterns from the last manager. They were really slack defensively. There's a poor touch from Dessers for the opening goal scored by Armstrong, and it's a gift from Jack Butland in at Finlay. This is a guy who was being touted to be in the England squad at this Euros in the summer, and then he's made mistakes like that. And it's not the first mistake Jack Butland's made this season. So is that a position you think Rangers are going to look at in the summer?
No, I wouldn't say so. I know it sounds surprising, but in Jack Butland, they have a. The thing is with him, he's on his day one of probably maybe the second best keeper in this league. And there is no. It doesn't matter who you bring in as a sub. If you take him off, you're not going to get the saves that he does make. Unfortunately, these kind of blunders have started to become more regular in his game. And I think this is a confidence thing more than anything. And it might be the case that a few good games puts him back in the mood, or just a reset in the summer. I don't think it's the most worrying position. However, that was an absolute howler. I can't understand it, and I want to give credit as well. I think it's Armstrong for the goal, because you can see the minute it's kind of traveling towards Butland, it looks like it should be a comfortable save, and I'm sure you'd agree. But Armstrong is already making that run towards him. He's not thinking, because a lot of players would see that ball traveling and go, ah, it's keeper's ball. He's already travelling for what should be an easy shot just in case. And I really kind of appreciate that kind of attention to detail, or that really kind of striker's instinct that he has. Even though he might not be the top goal scorer in the league, it's always nice to see that hard work pay off.
No, definitely. That's a goal against Celtic and Rangers for Armstrong. I'm sure he signed for them in January. A Motherwell fan can correct me if I'm wrong on that. The second goal, though, it's just more defensive worries. James Tavernier, on his 500th appearance, some Rangers fans will not be wishing for 500 more. He's quite a polarising figure between the Rangers support. His pass out is just poor, gifting Motherwell possession again, and then Jeff Day is in a world of his own, giving Tom Sparrow all the space on the right-hand side. Finlay, Yefty's a guy who we mentioned a few podcasts ago, linked with Chelsea. You suggested that that could have been just drummed up by his agent. Do you think maybe that sort of speculation has got the better of Yefty? Because he was coming onto a good bit of form after struggling to settle in. Now, he seems went back to that player we've seen at the start of the season who we weren't too sure of.
Yeah, the agent stuff, again, that really paints me, and I talk about Barry Ferguson and the media friends, really paints me in a kind of tinfoil hat light. But you're right, he is looking like the player from the beginning of the season. That's just like shockingly bad defending. That space, it's he sees proper next to him, and he thinks, is it, am I right in saying that's proper next to him? Am
Yes,
I
I
being a
believe so.
div?
I think it was
Yeah,
what.
and they kind of, he goes in to close down a space that has no players in it. Like, so man marking, zonal marking, whatever you want to call it, it's terrible defending. Doesn't even look over his shoulder and see Sparrow. And maybe the January stuff is getting to him. There's just an element of, it's a kind of basic of just spatial awareness, concentration, and you see it, that kind of this level of football, that one mistake can lead to a goal. And again, actually, I think Butland should do a little bit better, but it doesn't come to that. If Jeff D just has a look around. Well, you asked me about Butland in the summer. Do you reckon Jeff D's still there next year?
I think Rangers will sell if they get an offer even close to what was being rumoured in January, but I don't think it left back's probably an issue for them because they've got Yilmaz. I know Yilmaz plays here, there, and everywhere now, but I think that's just because the rest of the defence is so poor. They have to shuffle the pack. For me personally, I don't think it's an area they were looking for. They've got Robbie Fraser out on loan at Livingston. He was featuring for them for the first team as well, so who knows? But moving on, a position they might want to strengthen next summer is striker. Cyril Dessers gets it in the neck quite a lot from the media, from his own fans. For a guy who gets in the neck quite a lot, I've not seen a guy that poor score so many goals. He probably misses three times the amount that he scores, but he got another one that ultimately fell short. I'm going to ask you though, should they have had two? There was, he did score a second one, he got ruled out for offside. The object is, we don't know if Danilo touched it. What's your take on that?
No, I think it was offside. But I agree with you that he gets it in the neck, undeservedly so. I think he's a fantastic kind of, not only did I think he was a fantastic player to have on the bench, but I was having this conversation with someone the other day, and that was, if Adam Ida was putting up those numbers, he would be getting kind of maybe a small procession in the East End. But Adam Ida scoring far fewer goals, but unfortunately, this is in a bad Rangers team. And the criticism that's leveled at him, absolutely fair. He has missed a lot of chances. But to put up like more than 20 goals again when he's been frozen out and put on the bench for a lot of this season is really impressive. And I don't think they should be looking for another striker. I think they should be giving Dessers and Eggemann the kind of rotation. If you're going to have another player, make it a young player who's going to be kind of who needs an extra season to develop, maybe some time on the bench and just give them extra minutes. I think they're sorted up front. Like, seriously, I think they've got their goals covered. Where they need goals from are the wide areas, because that's where the best teams score from. Is not only do they have that striker 15, 20 goals a season, but the wide players are contributing at least 10 each.
And the point you made about the wide players last season, they had Abdallah Sima. He obviously was on loan, so he leaves. You don't recoup any sort of fee. Malik Tillman, same sort of story. He just leaves for, on a free. I know this is how the loan market works. But then even before that, Ryan Kent, who got a lot of goal contributions for it wide, he left on a free. And then this season, it's Vaclav Chernyi. And that is probably what's separating Celtic and Rangers now. When Celtic sell, they're like talisman Matt Riley, they're getting to 25, 30 million pounds for him, and then they're signing a guy like Nicholas Kuhn for £3 million. That's what has separated them. Now, when the new owners come in, that might change if that does happen. But let's talk about, I need to talk about Motherwell. We need to give them credit. This win put them into the top six. Two wins from three from Michael Vimmer, who came with Ibrox by game plan. They actually executed to perfection. Is that, do you think that's just what Motherwell needed? Was like a fresh perspective from the dugout, because the results were looking quite bleak about before Stuart Kettlewell left. I don't want to get into the circumstances why he left, but do you think a right set of eyes and perspective was this came at the right time for the Steelmen?
Yeah, definitely. I think this looks like it could be a good appointment. It's early days yet, but it looks like you mentioned, that Vimmer has a game plan, which is the important part, and it's not hoof the ball up the park. And I think he's part of a nice kind of trend in the game. Like Tallien at the beginning of the season, I know he's had that horrible run, but to bring in Vimmer is someone who's tactically seems to have quite a bit of acumen. And a win away at Ibrox, it's already been done this season. You mentioned that earlier, but still, they totally nullified them today. They made, I mean, he showed the difference in quality, and I don't want to harp on about Barry Ferguson, but it was a kind of indication of levels at the moment. And Barry Ferguson could well become a fantastic manager in future, but Vimmer is going to bring something interesting. And I'm going to be honest, I saw Motherwell entering a kind of steep decline, and I think tell me if you disagree, they have one of the least impressive squads in the league. I don't understand how they are in the top six, or how they were kind of fourth or fifth at one point. But he could get a tune out of them. And again, in a season or two with the right support, we could be seeing a side that's finding itself around the top six quite a fair bit more regularly, and not still in the top six after 3 wins in 14, which is what they had under Stuart Kettlewell. But yeah, again, just around a big spiel up. Michael Vimmer, fantastic performance. Motherwell, thoroughly deserved.
No, the point you make on the squad, I mentioned the experienced players they've got, I just don't think are good enough. Stephen O'Donnell, Halliday and such. I think they should go for someone like a Marcus Fraser. Maybe not him exactly, but someone of that ilk. I think that might be the difference between getting top six on the regular than not. But speaking of the current Motherwell manager, we're going to move to a former one, Stephen Robinson, the St Mirren manager. They hosted a Celtic side that are now closing in on their fourth league title in a row. They beat St Mirren by 5 goals to 2, but the scoreline certainly does not tell the story of the game, Finlay can St Mirren be feel hard done by the result?
Not necessarily by the result. I think definitely by the Alistair Johnson decision. I don't really like to talk about VAR decisions that much because I think referees get it in the neck a lot undeservedly. But in this instance, it's not just if it were 5-2 and that happens, I would say maybe it's time to move on. But there is a point that makes a big difference in momentum, puts Celtic down to 10. I think that would have leveled the score if they'd put that penalty away. But after that, to concede, the one and two to make it five, that's on them. But I don't think it was a bad performance. I think, do you feel that maybe Celtic were under the cosh for a fair bit of that game? I mean, maybe that's why Brendan Rodgers was so happy that they came away from the Smijter with those 3 points.
No, I thought they were under the cosh quite large parts. I thought St Mirren started well, and then when Jeffrey Schlupp opens a scoring, you just think, right, well, here we go, Celtic, are they going to throw this away? But then they forced it to change. Liam Scales comes on for Austin Trusty. Liam Scales, I don't think, started the game since the calamitous performance at Ibrox. Well, we might have started in the cup, actually, but alas. It was just they just looked shaky. I don't know what it was, and even they took the lead twice and still, I just think St Mirren weren't caving into the pressure. And we've spoke ad nauseam of the how well St Mirren are at home, and they do save a good performance against the big two when they're playing in Paisley, not so much at Celtic Park. But my question to you would be, is that home form going to be enough to get St Mirren into the top six, do you think? Because we've spoken about how tight it is. Do you realistically see that happening now?
No, not really, to be honest. I don't think Motherwell will stay in it. I think Hearts will jump back in. I think Aberdeen will stay in it as well. I'd be surprised. This is just not a good year for St Mirren, and that's okay. I think, if we're being honest, they punched above their weight for the last couple of seasons, and I think maybe what you call League XG is kind of taking effect, and maybe a season for them to restock and just. It just happens. You can't be in the top six every year when you're on that kind of budget. So you've maybe just got to be inventive, find a way. They're going to lose a few players. And I think they can take a heart from this performance. And the season, it's had bad runs of form, but they've also shown why everyone absolutely hates to play them in Paisley.
It's just, yeah, it's a good point. I think recruitment's going to be massive for both the aforementioned Motherwell and St Mirren, and taking them to the next level or not. Just to quickly recap the game we're discussing, it was Celtic, St Mirren 2, Celtic 5. Schlupp opened the scoring, as we mentioned. Then Declan John, it's a picture perfect free kick, clips off the bar. Don't forget, the old cliche, two goalkeepers don't save that. St Mirren, I thought St Mirren took control, but they give away, it's a clumsy tackle to give away, and it. Engels, I think he's 8 out of 8 in the league from the spot. Killian Phillips, though, straight after the restart, brought St Mirren level once again. I don't think he means it, but it's such a the goals are so satisfying, it just kind of loops in. But I'm not gonna give him too much credit. I don't think he meant it. A player though who does look reborn, Yang. He took it in the net quite a lot of fellow Celtic fans. Some of them will be feeling vindicated. Sticking with him because he looks a different player. I think Brendan Rodgers had a wee quip in his post-match saying his girlfriend's in the country now, so maybe that's why. The fourth goal scorer though, Dyson, that the just the way he takes a goal, he takes a touch, it's a composed finish. That's the difference between Dyson of this season compared to Dyson of last season. Is she going to be subject to any big bids? Finlay, Brendan Rodgers mentioned he would be surprised if there weren't bigger teams chasing after him. Do you see him leaving in the summer?
It's a difficult one to say, isn't it? I expect bids, but you have to think maybe, unless it's a Champions League team, I don't know. If I were him, the offer would have to be pretty significant to keep me away from a Champions League campaign that now, off the back of the one we've just seen, could actually not just be going in and getting it handed to you and then leaving. Now you can actually mix it with the better teams. There's something so tantalizing about that for a player that maybe it's worth sticking around for. That being said, if someone triples your money, offers 15 or something, 20 million for him, who's going to say no to that? But like you mentioned earlier, it's night and day for him. He was already a fantastic player, but in 2.5 seasons, he scored 29 goals in all competitions. He's already on 26 for this one. I mean, that's absolutely stunning, the levels of improvement and the word of the day, composure. It's fantastic to see him doing so well because he's such an interesting player and he's a player. And the cliche comes about again, it's bums off seats. He is a player who lifts the crowd. I think everyone would be sad to see him go, but the same with Kyogo is sometimes you have to just kind of let people move on and just remember how nice it was to have them. And I speak about Maeda like he's my ex-girlfriend, but yeah, it's nice to see players like that in the league.
Yeah, I just think what he offers to the Celtic team is so irreplaceable. So if it was to go, it could even be as drastic as a changing system from Brendan Rodgers. But Celtic, with that 5-2 win, it puts them 3 wins away from the title. That's provided Rangers don't drop any more points. Obviously, they've got to play each other in 2 weeks' time. They've just absolutely ran away with this season. And it was a lot tighter last year, but anyone who's came their way, they've kind of dispatched easily. But one side that have been able to defeat Celtic this season is Hibernian. They hosted their capital city rivals, Hearts, in the Edinburgh Derby at Easter Road. Hibs won it 2-1. It's the first time they've beaten Hearts in consecutive derbies since 2008-2009 season, and it's 3 unbeaten derbies for David Gray. Finlay, you've saw a lot of Hibs this season, but 14 unbeaten, the sky is kind of the limit from here at the end of the season, would you agree?
Yeah, it's incredible because it's stopped being not lucky, but it stopped being like the almost like it was close, but always maybe lacking a slightly convincing element to each victory. And then over the last few games, there's this new element, there's this new confidence where it seems like all the players are kind of looking at each other, going, "Hey, by the way, we're actually really good. We can actually move the ball a bit." And everyone's contributing. It's every part of the pitch. And Martin Boyle, player reborn, Jack Iredale scoring. I mean, he got an assist and got his first goal of the season. They just look like a good team. And the way they were kind of playing against Celtic, I think with a couple of additions, I know they'll lose a couple of players in the summer. I think that's going to happen. Like Elly Yuen looks almost certain to go. But a couple of additions here and there. And just accounting for a loss of form, this could be the third best side next year, far and away. They've got a very good platform to build on. I'm hoping that maybe they can, if they do get Europe, they can kind of give a good account of themselves. But I don't know. Did you were you thoroughly convinced by their performance today? Am I maybe being too? Am I just waxing lyrical for no reason?
I think they were the better team than they deserved to win, but the first half, I think they touched on it in their post-match interviews. I think it was Nicky Cadden. He said there was a bit of nervousness in the side, and it was just, I think it might just be because they're on this 14-game unbeaten stretch. Sometimes these things can go against you. I remember when Celtic went on that 69-game unbeaten run, they were just kind of grinding out sort of draws. The Invincibles with Arsenal, they got a lot of draws that season. You're just desperate not to lose and stop the momentum, but you end up conceding a good level of performance as a result of that. But having said that, you could see what they'll try to do. They'll play in the long ball into the wide areas. I will say we're giving Iredale credit for that assist. I don't think he was trying to find Martin Boyle, but Martin Boyle just absolutely chases it down, and he just wanted to get to it first more than the Hearts defender. It's a great finish. It's a funny celebration. It's such a good advert, the Edinburgh Derby on TV. I love watching. I think a lot of people, a lot of neutrals in Scotland love it as well. But I'm going to move on to the Hibs second goal. I think Hearts have got to do a lot better there. I think it's Nicky Cadden again. All the time and space to put the ball in, and then Lauren Shanklin doesn't even try to get in front of the ball for Iredale, which is it's a fantastic finish. But is that just what's Hearts' downfall this season? Is just the wee things, the finer margins, is what has separated this season from last, do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's an element of that same reason why Hibs are so good is just what's lacking, and that's the momentum and the confidence that winning breeds. And they have been winning games. Like, don't get me wrong, it's like it's 4 wins from their last six. That's a lot. But there's just something about being a dominant team, and kind of they don't have that same momentum that Hibs have. And so those 1% moments creep in, like you mentioned, Shankland. They just maybe, and I've perhaps harshly, people were describing him as a bit of a like kind of ghost in the shell, like a figure in a museum statue type, all that. There's just, I mean, I can see very easily this same side going on a run and looking like completely different versions of themselves, but they just need to find that from somewhere, and they still have a lot to do. I don't understand. Maybe the nerves got to them. The Edinburgh Derby is a huge game, and it's got a fairly big following on TV, and hopefully more people will tune in for it next time after that. But these are still, we kind of remiss to forget that these two sides were at the bottom of the table not that long ago, which is shocking to think that now Hibs could be the third best side in the league and Hearts could be in the top six.
No, it's easy to forget that. I think the last derby east of the road, it was 12th versus 11th, which is absolutely mental to think about now. It's had both sides have had such a change in fortunes. I think just what I felt was just it seemed to me that win today just felt like a sense of the tide turning in Edinburgh, because I think Hearts have had it all their own way, even though the last 10 years have been relegated twice, have still always seemed to get that one over Hibs. This was just a statement, we'll call it that. It was a statement from Hibs, and it was a statement in the league table. They moved them up to third, battling it out between Aberdeen and Dundee United, who played each other today. We're going to get into that later on in the show. I'm going to put my neck in the line. I'm going to say Hibs are going to finish third. I just think on form. See, I'm not going to win any prizes for saying they're going to finish third, but I just want to know, do you agree with me? I don't see Dundee United or Aberdeen mounting too much of a credible challenge, to be honest.
No, I think Dundee United are slightly running out of steam at this point. And their focus will be just on getting in the top six. I think they were overperforming for for major parts of this season. They just don't, it's still, for the most part, it's a promoted side, and they rely a lot on moments of magic from Sam Dalby and Aberdeen. Again, to get top six after the kind of disastrous run would be, that should be the minimum at this point. That should be their focus. They wouldn't want to get ahead of themselves. I think more than anything, if you can you imagine being those players spending that much time third, fourth, second, and then on the last day of the regular season, finding out that you're going to have to spend the next month or so going to Dingwall, Paisley, Rugby Park, and just grinding out result after result when you're not threatened with relegation, but just teams absolutely wanting to put 2 feet in you. I think it feels like the difference between being in a kind of fancy restaurant and then just eating in, some kind of free-for-all canteen in the Navy. I mean, I fear for some of those players who have tasted the good life, and do you see what I'm saying? Like,
I see what you're saying, but I don't think I've ever heard them to use that analogy to describe it before, but
and you know what? Based on the way I've delivered it, you won't ever again. But yeah, it's just, I would find it so dispiriting to be a player and then just go, oh, we're quite close to Europe, and then realizing that you can't get relegated. So essentially, for you, it feels a bit dead rubbery because, but your ceiling, you can't go any higher than seventh. Even if you get more points than the sides in fifth, fourth, third, you can't go any higher. But at the same time, the bottom two, bottom three sides want to kind of pull your teeth out just to survive. It's the worst month of your life.
I think it's just it's probably one of the criticisms of the sport. I remember when Dundee United went down, they were probably too big, they shouldn't have been in the bottom six, and then they lost every game and ended up getting automatically relegated. But it's another thing with the sport as well. We'll talk about how good a match Edinburgh Derby is. If Hearts aren't guaranteed top six, neither are Hibs officially, but they probably will, that means you lose another Edinburgh Derby and another spectacle to watch. So, but From one derby to another, there was a huge 6 point at the other end of the table. One of those teams that might be pulling Hearts' teeth out, as you put it, Finlay. It was the Tayside derby that we had this debate with Stefan a few, well, a long time ago now. It is a derby, the Tayside derby. It's not quite Dundee versus Dundee United, but Tayside is an area big enough to have its own derby, apparently. So Dundee hosted St Johnstone 1-1 in a. It could be a big game coming the end of the season. I've famously consigned St Johnstone to the drop a long time ago. Do you think I might have been wrong to say that, being so confident and assured of myself to say they'll get relegated? Because it was a big win for them midweek against Ross County, and then as if avoiding defeat away to your closest rivals, it's signs of encouragement under Vlachos, surely.
Nah, I think they're going down.
All right.
I really end of chat. No, I really like St. Johnstone. I really think that they should stick with Seymour, and I think they are going to. The signs are that they're backing him. He's got a plan, because what the thing is, at this point with the squad they had and with the way things were going, relegation was inevitable. So you can either go down watching your team try and play something nice every so often, few skills, some nice goals, or you can watch them lose 1-0 and you can be bored every week and actually miserable. But yeah, I know which one of the two I would much rather be. And that's why I hope he sticks around, and I think he would get them straight back up. I think the contingency plan is there, and I hope the long-term vision is there, that they think if we go down, give him some support, we can go right back up and hopefully come back stronger. And the longer he stays, the more he can have quote unquote his kind of player. Unfortunately, I think it's not going to stick this year. I think maybe Dundee, they look woeful. They look seriously bad. I can't believe this is the same team that I was watching draw with Rangers and Celtic and then beat Dundee United in the cup, because it's night and day for those two sides. But yeah, I know. I don't know. St. Johnstone, I think they're going down. I don't see any other of the sides that would be in the bottom six finishing below them, to be honest.
Yeah, I think the only other team it's going to beat is probably Dundee. And I think if St Johnstone had won today, we'd be singing a completely different tune. Or well, yesterday we'd be singing a completely different tune. You touched on how bad Dundee have been. Simon Murray scored, that's his 11th for this season, and it's his third in as many matches. Without his goals, we'd be having a completely different conversation, wouldn't we? I think he's been the shining light in what's been a pretty poor season for Dundee, hasn't he?
Yeah, and it's not just his goals, which are of course, fantastic contribution, but it's also his commitment all round. This is a player that you would see running the length of the pitch to make a sliding tackle. There's just something that he just embodies everything that you wish Dundee could show on a regular basis, that kind of grit, that fight. And what I love about him is that he's, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, he's about 5 foot 7. You can see every time defenders just can't wait for the game to end so they don't have to be anywhere near him, because he's such a pain to be around. He's always up in their face. He's always niggling. He's got, he's basically the dark arts of football. He just lives and breathes that. He's such an old school striker that I like to see him play, and I'd like to see him stay in the league. It's just everyone needs to step up a bit, because Adewumi is a great player, just again, slightly disappearing. All these players, I think they're feeling the long run of games, because that squad is one of the most threadbare. I mean, talk about squad depth at St. Johnstone. Dundee, it's a whole other level. At one point, they have four outfield players on the bench in January, and they didn't really strengthen. In fact, they let a couple of players leave on loan. So they've got the same amount in that squad, and everyone just looks knackered, like they are running on empty.
Yeah, no, I think I like what you're saying about Simon Murray. I think he's probably playing his best, well, maybe not his best, but we had a brilliant season again for Ross County last year. But he's at his hometown club. It's not really worked out for him when he goes to a quote unquote bigger club. I know he scored a winner in an Edinburgh derby for Hibs, but that's pretty much the only highlight. It's just, and I think he's 32 and he'll be 33 by the season's done. He's probably not got another move realistically in him. Unless he drops down a level, so I imagine he'll still be at Dundee, even if they do dropped into the championship, and I'm sure he'll probably, with St Johnstone will come back up if it is Dundee that go down. Because Dundee might go down with St Johnstone, the teams in the championship will be at licking their lips when they're ready to, I think, with the quality if it were their point. Excuse me. So I'd expect them to beat Dundee last year. I don't see any team coming in at a swoop to sign a 33-year-old Simon Murray, despite how good he's been. But look, stranger things have happened, haven't they? Scottish football at the end of the day. We've got to remember what we're talking about.
I mean, Tony
Sim.
Watt is up front for Motherwell in 2025. So, yeah, you're right. Stranger things have
Exactly.
happened.
He's still riding off the coattails of that Barcelona goal 13 years later. But a team who have faced similar woes throughout to Dundee and St Johnstone are Kilmarnock. They lost a third game in a row, third game in the space of a week for Dermot McInnes's side away to Ross County. It was 1-0. Kieran Phillips, that's his second goal since joining from Huddersfield in January. He's actually denied if there was a Puskás award for assists. He was just denied it by himself. I think Marley Watkins, no, Marley Watkins, it was a Ross County player, couldn't bundle it in, and Kieran Phillips ended up getting the rebound. But I don't know if you've seen it. Kieran Phillips' back heels it over a guy's head. It's unbelievable. He scored the second Finlay, and then Jordan Amisa has he made a catalogue of saves to keep a score at 1-0. This is a guy who signed as a free agent just before January, I think. Kieran Phillips, as I said, signed in January. Is Ross County's recruitment what is potentially going to be the difference between 6th and 7th for them? Or at least that's the difference between them battling for top six compared to not battling for relegation this year.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I personally also, another player on my list of ones that I love, Jordan Amisa. I think he's got a lot of potential. He's not the finished product yet. He's still a young keeper. Probably, keepers could have 10, 15 years more. I think he's not quite ready to be a top six keeper, but he's definitely one of the best keepers in that bottom six. And the reason that kind of difference between relegation and being in the league next season. But yeah, the recruitment has been pretty good. It looks like they got it absolutely spot on. What's funny with Amisa is, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, he signed on a short-term deal, and there was maybe when they brought him in, he was a bit of an unknown quantity. I don't think Ross County thought he'd be that good. I think they thought he'd be a stopgap, and then he has literally turned into Dino Zoff, some kind of reincarnation of the kind of football gods, and just has absolutely tore it up. He makes, Let's be real, he has a clanger in him every so often. But the amount of saves that and man of the match awards that he is picking up, I mean, I hope to God that they keep him next year because they're actually, contrary to what I expected at the beginning of the season, looking like they might just squeak into that top six.
No, I think you wouldn't have been. I think even Ross County fans would agree with me by putting them down 11th and 12th. I think I had them as 11th, but that win means that equal last season's point tally, and you've still got, is it 9 games to play now? So they're looking in a really good position. But on the contrary, Kilmarnock are not looking in a good position. As I said, that's 3 defeats in the space of a week. We've mentioned, I said, I think Dermot McInnes has took Kilmarnock as far as they can with that European finish last year. Do you think they're sleepwalking out of trouble? I'm not calling for Dermot McInnes' head or his resignation or anything, but I just think they're quite lucky this year that the two teams below them in Dundee and St Johnstone aren't going to be much of a threat going forward. But do you think they need to be careful going into next season, or do you think their fortunes are going to change?
No, I think sleepwalking is absolutely the right term because we've talked about how Dundee United kind of found themselves relegated before they'd realised what happened. And Kilmarnock run that very same risk. It's easy to think because every so often they get a win, they get 2 wins, and you're like, they're safe. They're 3 points off the playoff place. I would put money on them to beat a team from the Championship to stay up. But there's something worryingly lethargic about the way this team is playing, and it's not a very different one to the side that got into Europe last year. So for whatever reason, the side is not clicking and they're not showing that same energy. The players that were making massive contributions aren't. I have been impressed with Bobby Wales. I think he's a fantastic player and I hope to see him kind of onto do great things with his career. Fraser Murray's been good. Bruce Anderson as well. I mean, the less said about the miss, the better. So there are bright sparks, but absolutely not a vintage year. And I think maybe this is something that we can talk about. Does Darren McInnes actually have the energy or the desire to do any more with this squad? Maybe he's, like you kind of alluded to, he's looked at this squad and gone, I, to be honest, I cannot be bothered anymore. There's not much more I can do. And I, unless I get a fair bit of money or signings in the summer, then nothing's going to change next year. So maybe he might just pack it in and go for, you know, another side might come calling. He will be a manager in demand.
No, definitely. I think it might be just that. I think he's ran his race with Wickham, man. Not getting we've seen before. He's not. He's a. He's not shy. He dropped an early. We took Kilmarnock from the Championship and took them up. I think you made a good point there. They've almost got that sort of security blanket. Obviously, nothing's guaranteed, but if they were to finish 11th, you would think that they'd be comfortable enough to dispatch any of the Championship teams over two legs. Obviously, the year they went down, that's how they went down, but that was a good Dundee side. I think this year, the teams who are in the Championship playoff spots, I don't think they would overcome Kilmarnock, but I do think they would come overcome St Johnstone or Dundee. But we're going to wrap up the weekend's action talking about one of Derek McInnes's former clubs, Aberdeen. They fought back from behind to draw 2-2 at home to Dundee United in a big game for the battling of that third place in the table. Two first half headers from Dundee United, Vicko Selvage, and then league top scorer Sam Dalvey put Dundee United in the driving seat. But this was answered back by Kevin Nisbet. He got two goals, including another 90 plus equaliser. Finally, Scotland are playing Grayson a double header in a couple of weeks' time. You expect Kevin Nisbet to be in that squad, but do you think he'll be Steve Clarke's man starting up front? We spoke last week about Lyndon Dyke's injury. Do you think Nisbet's going to be the guy to lead the line?
I mean, I don't want to be controversial here, but I don't think Nisbet should be in that squad at all. Two goals is obviously a fantastic kind of return, and it's great that he managed to get those points. Off the back of what I've seen this season, he's no longer a kind of player. He's still young, of course. He's 2 years older than him. He's 27 years old. I don't think he's international caliber. He's never shown in the kind of 4 years he's been playing for Scotland. Granted, they're usually kind of sub appearances. But this season is like, has he got 4 goals for Aberdeen, 19 games? I don't think that should be. I n wouldn't necessarily take that if those were numbers in the Championship, let alone kind of Scottish Prem playing for an Aberdeen side that had been scoring for fun earlier on. But again, I don't want to take anything away from his performance today, but I wouldn't pick him in that squad, and I think it would maybe be a mistake just to do that when he's just because he's kind of in hot form off one game.
No, I get what you're saying. I'd need to look at the injury list. I know Scotland have got a bad history of injuries, but I've actually not kept
Oh, yeah. When
track.
do they not?
Exactly. I've not kept track of the other strikers. Che Adams always got something wrong with him. Ollie McBurnie won't be anywhere near the squad. And then feels like seeing a ghost. Ollie McBurnie, I've not heard that name in ages, but but and then
Well, it'd be a tanned ghost at this point, I hope, because he's.
I
I think he.
okay, got that sun cream off the Grand Canal, the
God.
Las Palmas fans, didn't they? But and then Lauren Shanklin, I think he's done enough. But look, it's not my dilemma. That's what Steve Clarke gets paid to do. But if it was Craig Levein, we'd be playing by a 4-6-0. So getting ourselves lucky we've got a striker to start.
Yeah.
But
Hopefully, Tommy Conway comes good. No, this is off the beaten track.
oh, we've got time. But I'd go with Tommy Conway. He's got a solid home score. But now we are digressing. Dundee United, they've dropped 8 points from winning positions in three of the last six games, and in those six games, they've only won one of them. That's the difference, and that's what David Grace Hibbs are only doing. They're getting wins from losing positions, whereas Dundee United, I don't know what it is, they're just taking their eyes off the ball. Is that what's going to come down to by the end of the season, Finlay, do you think?
Yeah, and then I think Dundee United, it's kind of a case of live by the sword, die by the sword. They live by small margins. They're going to kind of fall by them. So much of their play is based on kind of these moments that kind of come out of nowhere. Sam Dalby, usually on the end of a throw-in or just in and around the box, gets a header, scores. He scored like a third of their goals in the league. But yeah, but again, it's those small moments that are going to be the death of them, because I don't think they necessarily have it in their wheelhouse to respond when they want to problems or manage a game. But they've done really well this season. But I think I talked about this earlier, and it's just that they're running out of steam a little bit. That squad is not really built for a campaign of this intensity, playing in like two cups, a league against top opposition. I see them, if they can stay in the top six, that's a fantastic achievement, and they should build from there. I think they might struggle come the split. I think they're going to have a very difficult time.
The thing I think with United is Aberdeen had that brilliant run at the start of the season, where they were unbeaten Hibs or having that now. Dundee United have never had a spell for any length of time where they've been unbeaten, so they probably don't get the same amount of credit because it's not as obvious as it's happening. But like, we're in for a good end to the season. The European spots, the top six spots, and the relegation playoff spots, it is all going to go down to the wire. The only thing that's cut and dry, I think, is Celtic being champions. But that wraps up our recap of this weekend's fixtures, but we're not done yet. Finlay, I'm surprising you with another guest of player. I don't think you're actually, I'm no convinced you know who this guy is, but in honour of the Edinburgh Derby, you might have heard him, he just got on the international. Honour of the Edinburgh Derby this year, this is a guy who's played for both Hibs and Hearts. So, usual rules apply. I'll just start if you don't know. Someone playing a long way at home will probably get it before you. Right. So this
Probably,
guy,
definitely.
probably, definitely. Right. This guy started his career at Hamilton. He would then move to Millwall. From there, he moved to Raith Rovers. And it was from there he moved to Hibernian. Had a loan spell at St. Jo at Morton before moving to St. Johnstone. Then he moved to Hearts. He's probably more well known for being at Hearts. I think he won the Scottish Cup with Hearts and he scored 8 goals against Hibs playing for the Maroon side of Edinburgh. So that might give you a bit of a, more of an indicator. Then he got his big move to
How
Celtic.
old is he?
How old is he? He's a
Yeah.
manager in Scotland now. I think when I checked, he's about 47 now.
This Paul Hartley?
Aye. I'm surprised you got that.
Is it?
Aye.
Paul Hartley scored. He took the corner. My first ever game in a stadium, Scotland, France, when they won 1-0. Paul Hartley took the corner
You take the corner.
to set up
Wow,
Barry
there you go.
Caldwell.
There you
He's
go.
burned into my memory.
I've got his. He's got 20. That'll be one of his 25 caps. I've wrote all the teams he's managed as well, Calf. I wasn't sure if you'd
What,
managed
on one
the
side of A4?
way. Oh, but
Wait,
it's on
what's he?
all my notes.
Where is he now?
He's back at Cove Rangers. He got
Oh,
them.
okay.
He got them back to back promotions. Then went to Hartlepool. He's back
Oh yeah, the Hartlepool didn't really work out.
there.
Yeah,
Well,
again, this is, hey, you know what? I'll take that. I'll take that.
it's better. I think done better than last week. But you got Paul Hartley before you get
Yeah.
David Marshall. So,
Yeah.
oh
Is
well,
football's
hopefully.
equivalent of Neil. What's his name again? The History of Scotland.
History, I don't know. You've lost me. If it's not about Scottish football, then I don't know. I
So come back for next week's quiz when we ask a History of
will.
Scotland quiz so that I can't answer these questions anymore.
Right, well, hopefully you listening back home got that quicker than Finlay, but I'll give him his flowers. He done well this week. But thank you for listening. As we said, Stefan is taking a more hands-on approach with the social media, so be sure to follow us on Instagram and X and tune in next Monday from 4 p.m. to hear us again. Thank you and goodbye.